We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. A podcast where I try to figure out how and why I'm still single, even though I will finger your ear if that's something you're into. My guest today, you know him and you love him. He's from the podcast Doughboys, Know The. He wrote for Party Over Here. He currently writes for Sarah Silverman. Oh no, America. Oh!
That's good. That was good. That's close enough. I love you, America.
I love you, America. You know him and you love him. I won't do it a third time. Usually I'm really good at intros, and I forgot to look up if you were currently writing on a show. So I'm embarrassed.
Well, it was safe to assume that I was not currently writing on a show. I've had a stretch of inactivity lately, so.
Well, Doughboys takes up a lot of time.
I mean, kind of.
I mean, Mitch is a curmudgeon. You gotta go to his little dungeon. You gotta hang out with his cats.
Sure, you gotta eat a shitty meal. I mean, his cats are lovely, by the way.
They are Wally very, very adorable. Sweet.
And, you know, speaking of pettable guys, Charlie and Clyde are here in the studio.
Yeah,
your dogs.
Yeah.
I gave Charlie a lot of affection earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a pink tail, pink and purple dyed tail. It's beautiful. He just turned around to take a look at it. How about that?
He was like, let me see what you're talking about. I'm not sure I remember my tail color. They've been loving their tails. Clyde, you can't really tell because he's darker, but his tail, and I've been holding him because he's bad.
Yes.
His tail is a little orangey.
Oh, yeah, right. Kind of lion-y.
Yeah, he's a little lion. Oh, he's so bad. He shit right up in my house today.
That's horrible.
He went downstairs, looked at me, and squatted down, and I said, hey, stop. And he didn't. And then I brought him in here. He looked around. He said, seems good. And it took another shit right in here. And usually he doesn't do that. I think maybe he's been alone a lot all week. Both of them have, because I've been shooting more episodes. I've nailed it. And John, my roommate, has been working a lot. So they've just been alone. Do you have animals?
No. And actually, you know, we love animals and I love dogs. But we have partly it's our apartment situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it's partly there'd be such a labor divide between the amount of work my wife would have to do and the amount of work I would have to do because I'm working a lot of times I'm working and I'm not home for long stretches, so that seems unfair to me anyway. She'd be fine with it. Yeah,
it is unfair. John does a lot more of the heavy lifting. I feel like there are children and I'm the dad who's a little bit of a deadbeat who's like, I provide food for them.
Right.
You love them and walk them. I'll go to work and I'll buy food.
Right.
How long have you been married?
We got married in 2010, so okay. It's 7.5 years, coming up on 8 years. It'll be 8 years in September.
Ooh.
And we were dating for a while before that. I think we're reaching the inflection point where we're going to be married for longer than we were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh.
But I think we started dating when we were 22. I'm 37 now. So
that's such a long time.
It really is.
How did you know that your wife was the person that you wanted to marry?
Well, I think like that was, you know, because we were just sort of dating for a while and then dating seriously and like, you know, and then living together. And I think it was the point where we moved in together. I was trying to say in with each other and in together at the same time. It just ended up sounding like a garbled mess. I think when we moved in together, I kind of knew at that point. Mm-hmm. I feel like we both were kind of like, oh, yeah, this is just like a thing. And then when we eventually got married, there was like even a casualness about that where it's just like, yeah, this is the thing to do now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I sound like such a fucking lame wad when I say this, but my wife is my best friend and that's how I feel. I really do feel like she's my best friend and I enjoy talking with her. She really makes me laugh. Ugh. She like groans at my bullshit, which is great because I don't have a lot of people in my life who do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the big basis of it. Was we just really genuinely like spending time with each other.
I think that's so nice. I don't think that's lame. I only really want to date someone I like spending time with. I spend a lot of time with people that I'm like, well, I guess I hang out with you again to get the sex.
Oh yeah.
But I don't want to because you're bad.
Right.
Oh boy. So
it's like a thing I've heard about where like when you buy, I've only heard about this, but like you buy weed from somebody and then you have to like spend time hanging out with them.
I've only heard about this.
but you know, it's like the lame drug dealer is just like, ah, fuck, I got to listen to this guy's record.
Yes.
Just because I want to score some
sweet, sweet weed.
Yeah, exactly. I was searching for a synonym for weed and I realized
ganja.
I didn't know any. Yeah, there you go. Ganja.
Marijuana. little green nugs.
Jazz cigarettes.
Jazz cigarettes is very funny. And I think that's all I'm going to call joints from now on. Jazz cigarettes. I'm going to smoke some jazz if you know what I mean. Okay, I've never been in a long-term relationship. So when you went from casual dating to serious dating, was there a conversation or did you both just know?
Okay, I do want to return to you saying you've never been in a serious relationship because I have a follow-up question about that.
Okay.
So I mean again, I think we were just spending a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a phase where we started dating when we finished college. And so we're both from Long Beach area, Long Beach, California.
Okay.
And we actually knew each other in middle school and high school, but we're not friends. We're not, you know, we were acquaintances. We knew who each other were, and we had a few conversations, but like we're not friendly really. And then we went to separate colleges. I went to UCLA. She went to University of California, Berkeley. She moved back down to Southern California after she finished school. I was still in LA. And we just started seeing each other again. We started running into each other again, rather. And then we just started, you know, like hanging out and having conversations and realizing we had a lot in common. And part of that was because we had this shared, like, you know, the shared circle of friends from growing up together. We had all this, we knew all the same references. We knew that, you know. And so having that shared history was a big foundation for our relationship. But when we were dating early on, it was very casual. It was a lot of like, hey, let's go get food and then we'll like go back to my apartment or we'll, you know, and we'll just hang out there for a little bit. The basis of our relationship early on was hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
So when it turned into more serious, it was just like, oh, we're just going to hang out more. And we're just hanging out and spending more time together and then eventually moving into each other. Again, like I said earlier, just seemed like the logical next step. But you said you've never been in a serious relationship.
No.
Weren't you married at some point?
Yes.
Okay, so how... No, but I get what you're saying, but I just want to clarify, like, what was this marriage situation?
So I had gotten myself $30,000 in debt in 1 year because no one explained to me that when you get a credit card, buy now, pay later is not real.
Right.
It's not real at all. if you don't have the money to buy it, you shouldn't buy it.
Yes. How old were you?
I was 19.
Okay.
And
wow, that's young to have that much debt.
Well, what happened was my dad thought he was doing me a favor. So I had a Discover card.
Yeah.
And it looked like these 19 and 20 year olds were paying off large sums of money. He was trying to help us build credit. So I left my credit card in a cab, and then he said, I cut you off. So I didn't have a card anymore. So then I started applying for cards. I got a Hello Kitty credit card. I got a Macy's card. I got a Capital One card. And then they all gave me like a $5,000 limit.
Oh, because your dad had you on the account.
Because I had good credit.
Got it.
So I maxed all those out, and then they raised my limit because they were like, well, eventually she'll pay all this back because that's what she's been doing.
Right.
So then I said to myself, I can't pay this back. This is a lot of, at that point I was making $7.50 an hour at a retail job in New York City, and my rent was $500 a month, and I was only really making $1,000 a month,
Jesus.
Which is insanity that anyone ever has to live like that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't the only person living like that. So many people live like that now.
Right.
And it sucks. So I said to myself, I've heard a very quick way to make money is getting married. So I went on Craigslist to find someone looking for a wife, and I met with a man in New Jersey, which in hindsight was not the best thing to do,
yeah,
to just go to Jersey by myself. He was an older man, and he got really mad at me when I said I wasn't going to move in with him. And I was like, I think I'm just going to leave. And I like essentially ran away from him because I was like, I don't feel good about this. Then I met with this man on 14th Street at a dim sum place that's, I think, closed now. And he lived in Williamsburg, and he also wanted me to move in. And I was like, well, Williamsburg is, like, kind of cute, so, like, maybe I will. And then he's like, and you'll sleep in my bed. And I was like, I don't want that. I don't know you. And he's like, that's a deal breaker. And I was like, well, then I guess I can't do that. And then my roommate at the time was working at a bar with a Brazilian girl whose friend needed to get married. So she got married before me. And I was like, you took my idea. You literally hijacked my idea. So she married this guy. And then I was like, well, what do I do? And then she and her friend were at a gas station, and I get a phone call, and she said, Nicole, we found someone for you to marry. He works in a gas station in Queens. We're coming to pick you up. So then they pick me up in a PT Cruiser, which is like already a mistake.
Wait, so this isn't someone from Craigslist. This is someone they found.
No, this is someone that my roommate and her friend found
okay.
for me. They drive me in this PT Cruiser to Queens. So East Elmhurst, Queens, I think. It was so far out in Queens. And I meet him, and he's really sweet. And he was like, you have kind eyes. And I was like, do you have money? And he was like, yes. So then we were like, all right, let's do it. So then we filed for a marriage certificate.
And just then, like, you jumped straight to that.
Straight to that. Like a week later, filed for a marriage certificate. He gave me like $2,000 for that. And then we got married maybe a month later at City Hall in Queens. A woman named Dory married us. I had bangs and blue eyes because I thought I was Lil' Cam. My wedding pictures are literally insane.
Wow.
And we were married for a year. And then my dad passed away maybe like 6 months after I got married. And I told him I needed some time to myself. And he said, okay. So then like 3-4 months passed when me and my sister were trying to settle his estate because he didn't have a will. And you guys have to have a will. If you get to a certain age, just have a will. Otherwise, it is a mess for the people who you're leaving your stuff to.
Yeah.
Because what happens is your property reverts to the state. Then you have to fight with the state to get it back. And then also my dad had tennis cans filled with pennies all around the house that we had to go take to the bank. And they were like, why do you have so many? And we're like, I don't know. It was a long process. So then I texted him. I was like, okay, I'm ready to do more interviews. I settled his estate. Like, I'm in a better state of mind. Then he didn't respond for like a month. And then I contacted him again. I was like, hey, buddy, what's going on? Didn't hear anything. And I was like, well, I can't be married to this man who won't talk to me. So then me and my sister asked the estate lawyer, we were like, do you know anything about marriage? Can I get a divorce from someone who's like not responding to me? She's like, well, technically, you filed your taxes in Jersey and New York. You can claim New Jersey residency. And in New Jersey, all you have to do to get divorced is serve your husband divorce papers.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay. So paid for that, served him papers. He called me and was like, you're a bitch. And I was like, okay. And then And that's all he said. He left me a message that said, you're a bitch.
But he wasn't responding to you earlier.
And I sent him a very long text that was like,
yeah.
Well, if you don't respond to me, I don't know where you are. And I can't just be married to someone where I don't know where they are.
Right.
Then he never responded to that. Then my sister drove me to the Freehold courthouse at like 8 in the morning and I was granted a divorce.
Were you open to reconciling with him if he'd responded to you? And you basically, it just reached a point of no return.
Kind of. I think so much time has passed and I don't know what he was doing. We had done one interview that went well. I don't know. I don't know if he lost citizen. I don't know where he is in the process. It was 10 years ago, over 10 years ago. No.
So he was specifically specifically marrying you for citizenship.
Yes. And I was specifically marrying him for $10,000. I only got $4,000 of it. Didn't pay any of my bills. Truly got my hair done and took improv classes.
Hey, that was a positive step.
Yes.
That was an investment in you, it turned out.
Yes, it turns out it was good.
You were better spending your money on that than on, I mean, for 99.9% of people, that would be foolhardy. But for you, you were better off spending that money on improv classes than paying off your credit card debt.
Yeah, I don't know. If I had like applied it to my debt and really actually tried to pay my debt, I don't know where I'd be right now.
Right.
I truly don't know.
What a crazy alternate reality,
right?
That is.
If I was like, oh, I'll be responsible and I'll pay my debts, I would probably still be working at Lane Bryant, probably making, I would say, a cool $15 an hour because it's been over 10 years.
Yeah.
And I think the minimum wage is 13 now. So I think I'd be making a little bit over.
And probably you'd be scaring women who are kind of my mom's age who go into shop there.
Uh-huh. They'd be like, why are you so loud? I'm like, I want you to be happy in our clothes. Retail is awful. What was like one of your jobs before comedy?
Well, okay. So I spent a lot of time working in video games.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you one more marriage question real quick?
Yes,
sorry,
please.
Before we move it. Were you, when you guys were married, was there ever a point where there was any sort of intimacy?
No.
No. So it was never even like, maybe not even like a kiss for the cameras
We kissed at the wedding.
Okay.
And it was a very... It was a very light tap.
Got it.
It was just a...
Got it. And that was just basically to seal,
that was just
to sell it.
For a photo.
Got it.
So my roommate who set us up was at the wedding, and then his best friend was at the wedding as a witness. So we just kissed for that picture. And I have the picture, and it's wild.
Yeah.
The whole wedding situation is wild.
This is a fascinating chapter of your life this year.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as for your job question, so I worked in the video game industry for a long time before as I started to take UCB classes, and before that when I started to take classes at this other improv theater called Ultimate Improv that is now shuttered in Westwood, the Westwood neighborhood of West LA. But before that, my shitty college jobs were, I didn't have a job until college, and then in college I had shitty jobs where I was I worked at a bookstore for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I was just stocking shelves there. And then there were shifts I had to do at the warehouse. And it was mostly physical labor, but it was sometimes, you know, someone would walk over and be like, hey, well, where's the biology books?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, they're over there. You know, and that was basically it. And so that was a pretty brainless job that I was pretty bad at, because I was just, the one thing you had to do was show up on time. And that was an age when I just was not showing up on time to things, even though I'm pretty fanatical about it these days. And then after that, I worked at a computer lab.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... pretty easy.
Like, what'd you have to do? Just sit at a computer?
Yeah, I mean, like, so there were two different computer labs I worked in. One was a very highly trafficked computer lab where there were a bunch of people, you know, and I would have to like assist people with their computer issues or programming questions if they had them. I was a math major and I knew a good amount of computer programming, at least at the time. And the other lab was like at the top floor of this like remote building. And so no one ever used it. And I would have like 4-hour shifts where I would be in there and it would be just me alone in this room with like 30 computers and just me at my one big computer up front, like waiting for anyone to get in there.
Huh.
And so that was great because I would just bring in a DVD and just like watch like Austin Powers 2. And then, you know, the wage was better than some other campus jobs because you supposedly had to have some sort of computer expertise to have it. So, yeah, I mean, like, and then after that, I worked at the I worked in, my first video game job was probably the shittiest job I had working at Activision. Mm-hmm. I worked in computer support, or rather phone support for people's computer problems with their video games, which was a lot of moms basically calling in and saying,
why won't the Grand Theft Auto load?
It's exactly that. But like a lot of it was, you know, like I bought Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 for the GameCube. Why won't it work in my son's Xbox? And having to explain, like, well, those are different systems. It's not going to work on that. And then they're suddenly mad at me for...
Well, why didn't anyone tell me when I bought it?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was the GameStop guy's fault. I don't know what to tell you. So there you're basically, your hands are tied and you're just sort of there to absorb people's abuse because they're mad at the company, and but there's nothing you can do to help them. So you're just like, yeah, that sucks. I don't know what to tell you. And then I worked also as a game tester, which was just so miserable because it's this giant basement. I feel like we're pretty far afield from Why Won't You Date Me? This point. This is more of a career retrospective.
I just wanted to know.
And so we were in this, it was this giant basement with like, you know, 150 TVs and just like sweaty guys who all look like me.
I feel like you've had a lot of jobs in front of TVs and screens.
Honestly, yes. I'd say I've spent most of my life looking at some sort of screen.
Do you have bad eyes?
My eyes, I got LASIK.
Oh, that's very scary to me.
Let me tell you, it is scary. And it also does not permanently fix your eyes.
No, you have to like get touched up.
Yeah, I went to the optometrist this year, and they're like, "Oh yeah, your right eye is bad again." I'm just like, "Oh, so I've got to get glasses for this after getting this laser surgery 10 years ago."
Oh, so 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, but so that's like, well, a boob job. You have to like get it redone every couple of years. Like, I think it's every, like, maybe 5 or 7 years, you got to get new implants.
Right.
Your butt, you got to upkeep. You've got implants in there. Here's a question.
Yeah.
Did you date anyone before your wife, or is she the only person you've touched?
I would say, not the only person I've touched, but I would say the only serious, adult relationship I've had. Because I would say the other girlfriends I had were, like, middle school, you know?
Oh, it was, yes, like, because you got together very young.
Yeah, but well, you know, 22. I mean, that
was
enough
to have.
Young. Yeah, it was pretty young, but I mean, but it was like I didn't have anyone I dated like in college where it was like, oh, this was a serious relationship I had in college. You know, I had people like I dated, but yeah. So I guess in that sense, and she did have a boyfriend basically for all of college. It was a very serious relationship. So I feel like part of our relationship was me sort of kind of knowing what a relationship entailed, and me kind of being like,
oh,
okay, you know, getting shown the ropes a little bit. Yeah. Because I'm also like, I try to be a pleasant person as much as possible, but I'm also kind of dumb and naive in a lot of ways.
I don't think you're dumb at all. I think you're a very smart person.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
You're welcome.
But I think maybe dumb to some, here's how I'd characterize it. Maybe I got a lot of facts up in the old noodle, but some social interactions, I maybe have trouble like picking up on like, oh, this is the right way to handle this. You know what I mean? I don't have quite the social, what was that? Is social intelligence, is that a thing?
I think it's picking up on social cues or reading a room.
Yeah, exactly. I maybe sometimes have issues with that. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to, you know, I do get some assistance with those issues.
I personally sometimes get so angry that I say very hurtful things to people, and I'll like cut down a person, and then after I've done it, I feel very good. But then a minute or two later, I go, you got the reaction you wanted, and you made them feel bad.
Right.
Now you feel bad that you've made them feel bad, so now you have to apologize to them. And then an apology never feels enough because you were so personal and mean.
Right.
That's like one of the things I have a very hard time with.
If you ever like viciously personally insulted me, I would be devastated.
Oh, no.
Because I really like, I think you're so funny and so talented. And I would feel like, oh, if she disrespected me or didn't like me, I would feel like that was such a judgment from someone I respected.
I feel like you would never do anything to make me angry.
Hmm. I feel like I could. I can't think of what it would be, but I think I've angered people in my
maybe
life.
Maybe in like a writer's room if I got frustrated with you.
Oh, see that, I don't think that. There you'd get frustrated because I just check out. And those, I'm just like playing Hearthstone on my laptop where I'm supposed to be paying attention in a meeting.
Writers' rooms are very interesting.
Yeah.
I think I thought a writer's room was people get together and then they go, all right, we have a TV show. You'll write an episode and you'll write an episode and you'll write an episode and break. And then the episodes are written and yeah. TV happens. It's just, it's a lot of like getting to know each yes. other and then games. And then they're like, all right, now we have to write episodes.
Right.
And I feel they're interesting. I like them.
I do like them too. They're super fun. You get to if you're in there with funny and nice people, it's mm-hmm. like a blast. It's like the most fun you can have at something that's still a job.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that the rigidity that you suggested, a lot of rooms would probably benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was only head writer once on a show we worked on together, and I don't yes. think I did a very good job. But it was very. It's a very tough position to be in mm-hmm. because you've got to manage everyone's voices and everyone's egos. Not that we really had any ego issues on that mm-hmm. show, but they do exist on some shows. And then also you've got like all this logistics shit to worry about because uh-huh. you've got all these just production concerns you've got to keep in your head. So it's a very tough job to run one of these. But mm-hmm. I do feel like a lot of writers' rooms get very, very casual. And it's just like, well, we're just watching college basketball now. This is like... I know what we're all getting uh-huh. paid collectively. This is a waste of resources.
Yeah.
And we only have so many weeks to write this fucking show. What are mm-hmm. we doing?
Yeah, I feel like it gets to like the end and you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. All right, everyone, we got to do this.
Right. And the show I worked on before, the Sarah Silverman show, At Midnight, mm-hmm. Which timing-wise, we were recording this in the aftermath of a very,
boy.
Very... bad scandal Woo! Adjacent to that, but in any event, the thing on At Midnight is I feel like that was a very well-run show because it was just sort of like, okay, by this time we have to have this done,
mm-hmm.
and by this time we have to be this done, and then by this time we're rehearsing and then taping the show. So
mm-hmm.
I think just like the fact that you had just deadlines imposed on you
yeah,
made people actually get the work done.
Seems like it would make... a room just feel regimented and like a job and like we're a very well-oiled machine. Here's a question
yes.
about that whole thing. What is a cosplay star? They kept saying she's a cosplay star. I didn't know that cosplay had spectators to it. Do you know what cosplay is?
Yeah, it's like basically...
It's
you
like
know,
LARPing?
Yeah, well, it's not quite LARPing because I think LARPing implies that you're going to do some sort of... Like, I'm going to pretend I am this character.
Yes.
Whereas cosplay is more like, I'm just going to dress up like this character. I'm going to dress up like a really... I have this Iron Man suit that I built, and I'm going to dress up like mm-hmm. this. And I think in the cosplay world, there are some people who... largely people who are very photogenic,
mm-hmm.
who have very elaborate costumes, and like, oh, I do a really convincing Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. I do a really convincing... Jaina from World of Warcraft. I kind of embody these characters,
mm-hmm.
and for that reason, I'm able to turn this into an income source. In the same way that you can turn a podcast into an income source.
I mean, we're living in the wildest times.
It really is, yeah.
Where you just record in Mitch's house, set up a paywall. No, I'm kidding.
It is weird that we're recording this in Mitch's house.
Yes, Mitch, don't come in. I have a question. Do people hit on you via the internet because they enjoy your podcast, even though you're married?
Well, I think people, I have like everything closed off. I have like closed DMs.
Oh.
I have like, you know, so I think like in, and maybe this is me flattering myself of like, oh, if I didn't have open, if mm-hmm. I had open DMs, I would be swarmed with mm-hmm. suitors. But I haven't had that many people who have been like horny for me, for lack of a better term. I mean, and they get horny for Mitch. There's a lot of women very horny for my co-host uh-huh. Mike Mitchell because he is a very specific type, and a lot of people
yes.
are into that type. And
yes.
he's a handsome man.
He's a handsome little bear.
Yeah. I've had a few people just say, but no one like who has actually. Someone did say they would suck my dick, but I think that was partly a bit. I don't know how much
okay.
of a bit. I think that was partly a bit. I think mostly people are just sort of like, you know, oh, he's married. He's very open about that, and also maybe mm-hmm. he's like this weird cretin who I don't necessarily want to get to know.
No, not weird cretin. So you completely and utterly have missed online dating.
Yes. So that is a thing that I'm like, not even just the apps, which apps are like this in the 2010s. In the whole 2000s, the Match.com era, the Christian Mingle, the J-Dates, I never experienced any of that. And I have like, we actually saw our good friends last night that met through J-Date. And it's like, oh, this is so crazy that this is like a whole, both me and Natalie, my wife, we missed all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you're very lucky. Oh, you're so lucky.
But do you think it's a bigger, like, it's a greater hell than the previous hell of, like, I have to go to, like, a Chili's and hang out in the bar and, like, hope that I meet somebody and that just happens to be my soulmate?
Well, I feel like when you meet someone in person, you get a better feel for their vibe.
Okay.
And you can immediately be like, ugh, hard no. Or like, oh, I'm feeling a little something. Whereas an app, you're like, all right. You look fine. I swipe right. Great. You know how to text. You're competent at that. You're literate. And then you meet them. So there's like more steps to meeting someone to then go, oh, ew, no.
Yeah.
I also, I've said it before, I think texting creates a false sense of intimacy. And I think the internet itself creates a false sense of intimacy. So, like, you'll do a podcast and you'll talk about your life, and then people seem like they know you, and they don't. They don't know you at all. Or you perform for people, and then they want to talk to you, and then they're, like, a little too familiar with you because they think they know you, and they don't.
Do you I imagine people do that to you. They certainly do it to me and Mitch.
Yes.
And we have also... And I know it's different for men and women, and what women encounter is more vicious, and maybe because of what what me and Mitch do on the podcast, we insult each other a lot. We experience some of that I'm sure is still also not as bad, but people will just be like, hey, what's up, you fucking autistic robot?
Oh,
you know, they're
no!
just like, because they're like, you're my friend. I can bust your balls. Just like, well, no, I've known Mike Mitchell for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're very good friends. And that's why he can do that. I don't know who you are, just a stranger shouting at me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, that doesn't I'd say mostly our fans are respectful, but you do encounter that a little bit. Like you were saying, because of that intimacy, people kind of think like, oh, you're my friend. I can treat you the way I would a friend.
Yeah, it's a little, it's fun. It's in person sometimes. People think I remember everything I say.
Oh, sure.
So they'll repeat things that they've heard on the podcast to me.
Oh, man.
And I go, oh, yes. And like, oh, don't you remember? You said this on How Did This Get Made? You know, not your podcast, but Jason Manzoukas and Paul Scheer's podcast.
Right.
And I was like, oh, boy, what a treat. And they're like, me and my wife say it all the time. I'm like, oh, thank you. And this happened maybe 2 weeks ago. I was at a bar doing a show where no one in the bar knew a show was happening. All the lights were on and there was just a stool in the middle of the bar. And was screaming jokes at people who didn't want them. And I was like, you know, this is fun. You have a show on Netflix and then you scream in a very lit bar and life humbles you so much. It's so wonderful. But as I was leaving, this guy screamed something at me about a dick. And I was like, what? He was like, you know, and I can't even remember what the phrase is, but he repeated it. And I said, oh, okay. And he's like, you said it. And I said, oh, where? How did this get made? Bloodsport. Ah, yes. 2 years ago. Yes, yes, yes.
Right.
Me and my wife love it. Okay. And then was talking to me as I was walking to my car like we were best friends.
Oh,
and
man.
And then was saying like other things I had said on the podcast. I was like, maybe this man has only listened to one podcast. And it was that episode. And it really stuck with him. And I was like, who am I to be like, sir, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
So I was just like, just try to go along with it. It was very, very strange. And then also on Tinder, this man referenced an Instagram post that I had posted. So we matched. And then his first message to me was a reference from my Instagram. And I read it and I was like, oh, what? Then I was like, oh, he follows me. Oh, okay. That was weird. That was very, very weird.
Yeah.
It's dating is starting to get weirder and weirder and weirder. And I don't know if people are talking to me to be like, I like what I see. Or they're like, oh, I know you. And I want to just have a conversation with you because now I have an outlet for you to respond to me.
Right. Oh, I didn't even think of it because you're a public figure. So people are like, so someone in an app, a dating app, might just be like, oh, this is a chance to meet Nicole Byer.
Yes.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that layer.
And it's very confusing. And lately I keep matching with men who talk to me and then go away.
Yeah.
So I had a whole conversation with this man. He said, hello. I said, hello. He said, I think you're very pretty. I said, thank you so much. He said, do you like pho or pho? I don't know how to say that.
Pho.
And I said, I've never had pho because I eat like a child and I don't explore.
And you don't like soup.
I hate soup. Soup is, oh, it's soup?
Yeah, it's big time soup. It's
he
like
didn't
a huge soup.
Say it was soup. Well, I'm glad it didn't fucking work out. Soup is stupid. It's the dumbest food. But I said, sure, I'll try $4 pho. And then he goes, I have a beard that's down to my belly button now. Is that okay? And I said, I mean, you have no pictures of it, but I think that's fine. And he went, great. And I said, okay, but like, what does it really look like? And then he unmatched me because I was questioning his belly button beard. And I was about to eat soup for this man. Unknowingly eat soup. And I don't know why he unmatched me. And then I matched with this other man, and we had a lovely conversation, and he said he enjoyed Nailed It on Netflix. Please watch it. And I said, thank you. But then I was like, well, he's a fan. I think that's all he wanted. And I said, you trying to fuck? And then he unmatched me.
Oh, wow.
So I guess the answer was, nah, brah. I ain't trying to fuck. Just want you to know I like bad cakes.
Is it possible he was like me, like a little timid boy, and then if he got a message like, if I got a message that you trying to fuck, I'd be like, and like throw my phone in the dishwasher.
maybe he threw his phone in the dishwasher, and that's why we unmatched, because his phone
right.
is broken.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe, but I think if I end up with a partner ever, they would have to be okay with me saying awful things,
right?
I like to say awful things.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's what's great about you is that you are just you. Like, I never felt like there's any pretense about you. And I feel like you're just like, you seem like so real, and like what you see is what you get. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like you would want someone who is like, that's what I see is what I get, and that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't know how you find that through an app, because so much of knowing you is like, Not just like a person, but you specifically
mm-hmm.
is like spending time with you and interacting with you and seeing like, oh, this really is like, this
mm-hmm.
is, this is who you are.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I will, like, I do think I turn it up a little bit when I'm performing.
Sure.
And I think it's really weird that people don't understand that.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very strange because I am who I am when I'm performing. It's just toned down a little bit because it's exhausting to have that much energy
sure.
all the time.
Right.
I dated this guy. Okay, I did the weirdest thing. So I dated this guy, and then I found his, maybe I won't say this story.
Think about it. Imagine someone quoting this to you 4 years from now in the parking
lot. I
won't
say it.
Of a Sizzler.
Okay, I won't say it. But how do I get out of it?
Go to break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's. With code DATEME20, Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me, spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back! Ah! I've lost my mind. I've been shooting more episodes of Nailed It, and it is strange.
What are those days like? Like, how long are you shooting?
It's a 12-hour day.
Okay.
We shoot, I would say, roughly for 10 hours with little breaks in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I think we take maybe 3 half-hour breaks, so it's 1.5 hours. So they really have, like, I'd say 8.5 hours of footage for one 30-minute episode.
Oh, so that one shoot day is one episode.
Yes. And wow. It's because we'll shoot for 12 days and I learned, I don't know, 48 new names in 12 days.
That's crazy.
So by the end of every day, I'd be looking at someone. I'd be like, I think their name is Jim, but I don't know. But their name could also be Carl.
Right.
Carl was here yesterday or was Jim here yesterday? I don't know. And there was no one is ever single on the show. I was like, maybe I will find a contestant to date.
Oh, right.
But no one is ever single. And if they're single, they're usually a nice gay man. And then all of the camera operators are all married. Everyone in production is married. Everyone in production gets married young. And I think it's because they're in unions and they have steady income.
Right.
And like health insurance. So like, oh. I mean, my money situation's all settled.
Yes.
I might as well get married. So I don't know if I'll ever meet anyone at work.
Yeah, that's actually a huge, the financial aspect of it. I mean, part of when Nally and I got married when we did was we would just like financially, we were like, you know what, this makes sense at this point, like for health insurance reasons. And then also like, you know, for tax. I mean, you save... I imagine it's even more now with this shitty new tax bill. But I think you save more money. You save quite a bit more money filing married versus filing single.
Really?
Yeah. There's like because there's tax incentives. The government wants you to be married for whatever reason because they want to be a value they encourage. Yeah. So it makes financial sense for long term couples to do so.
Golly.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Right. It actually does. It does suck because it's like you know, wealthier people are more likely to be married, so it's it's another class, another thing that makes taxes more regressive, you know, like a lot of our tax code. It's ostensibly progressive, but they have all these things programmed in to make sure that the lower class pays a disproportionate burden.
We all pay the same percentage of taxes, or is it based on your income?
It's based on your income, but yeah, but the way the marginal rates work is that you're paid up to that, whatever that threshold is, and then for the next threshold, then it's taxed on that percentage. So you might be paying a different percentage on different chunks of your income, depending on how much you make.
Oh.
So like, yeah, you might be, you're getting untaxed on, I forget what the numbers are now, but you know, like untaxed on the first $25,000 you make, then you're paying like, say, these are just totally pulled out of my ass and they're wrong, but I'm just going to say them for the purpose of illustration. From $25,000 to $75,000, that's taxed at 15%. From $75,000 to $125,000, that's taxed at 22.5%.
Oh.
So, yeah. So just that range of income is taxed at that amount.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's why when I worked at Lane Bryant, I never paid taxes. I always got taxes back to me.
Yeah. That's, I mean, you can reach a point where you know, if you make enough,
if you make enough non-taxable income, you get money back.
Yes. Yeah. If you are low enough in the amount of total income you make.
I was so poor for a very long time. My dad was also like, if you don't make money, don't file. They'll never look for you. He was right. Like, no, I never was audited when I wasn't making very much money.
Right. But I mean,
if I made $1,000 a month, I made $12,000 a year.
Those are poverty level wages, even 10 years ago. That's like, and you're living in a major city.
I was living in New York City.
It's insane.
Yeah, sometimes my check would be like for $550.
Right.
And I would be so, because I got paid biweekly, and I would be so excited. But also, my rent was only $500, so half of, like, my one check went to rent, and then the other check went to drinking. Bow, bow, bow. Yeah, I don't know how I did it, and I don't know if I could ever do it again.
Yeah, it's become, with housing shortages being what they are, it's like it's unsustainable for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's grim. And I don't know if you were right that being financially comfortable has to be a big part of how people are able to find stability in their lives, which means they're able to have some sort of stable relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know how you do it if you're like broke. Like, I don't know how you do, because dating is also expensive.
Dating is very expensive because movies are very expensive, unless you got movie pass and you're okay with them selling your information.
Wow, I didn't know you were a big privacy crusader.
I hate movie pass. So movie pass came out and I said $9.99 and you could see all the movies you want. There's something there.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying that there was something there. Then I read an article that was like, oh, because they sell all your information.
Right.
And I was like, it's not worth it for $9.99. I'll pay a little bit more. I am anti-Movie Pass.
Wow. I think that's going to, I mean, I think some people are going to get mad at you over that.
Probably, but I don't care. I am very anti-MoviePass.
Right.
I am also anti-Universal Studios Florida. In order for you to get in after paying your money, they take your fucking fingerprint to get in. And I said, dear sir, I don't want to do that. And he said, do you want to get in this park? And I said, yes, but what if I didn't do that? He's like, but if you leave and come back. I said, I'm never leaving and coming back. I'm coming for this day only.
Right.
I won't walk out, and I'll just be in there, and then I'll leave, and I'll go live my life. And he said, ma'am, if you want to come in, you will scan your thumb. And I said, fine. And I watched everyone just happily do it. I was like, so now Universal Studios, what are they doing with our fingerprints?
Probably Gru's up to something.
Probably. Gru will do something. Harry Potter will take our identities.
Right.
I guess I am big on privacy. I just don't understand why it's so invasive. Why does Apple want to scan my face for me to get in my phone?
Right.
What is wrong with a passcode?
Right.
Why do you want my thumbprint?
Yeah, I had a job where you had to have your thumbprint to like sign into your time card. And
no.
Even that, we were like, this is, everyone
it's
was like, what the fuck are you
weird.
Doing?
Weird.
Yeah, why are we doing this? And then they were like, oh, well, it's only storing the data points of, they tried to explain it in a way where they didn't actually have your thumbprint.
No.
They just had the data that showed what your thumbprint was.
No.
And they're like, what are you talking about?
Also, you think Ancestry.com and all those places that want you to figure out who you are is just being nice about figuring out who... No! They're collecting data on us!
They got all your cum and big vats.
Let me put my tinfoil hat on and tell you that the government is collecting data on all of us! I genuinely am scared of... I don't want to swab my mouth and then send it to somebody, because what are you doing with it?
Yeah.
Also, how does swabbing my mouth tell you where I'm from?
I mean, I don't know. I have a feeling at some point someone's going to be like, Ancestry.com is all just bullshit.
I think it is bullshit. I think they're lying to everybody.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy to, you know, Google a person's name and then go, oh, okay, they look black. We say they're from some parts of Africa, South Africa. We say 0.% fucking Swedish,
yeah.
And we send it right back.
Right.
I don't think it's real.
I'd love to send mine in and get it back. Like, wow, I am 110% white.
sir, you are extra white. let's see. So you have friends who met on J-Date. How long ago?
That's a good question. I think we actually asked them that. I think they said 5 years. It feels like longer than that now because they have two kids. So I may be, that may have been when they got married. But yeah, here's my question, because you were talking earlier about you meet sometimes a rando and you don't know what they're after.
Yes.
There's a dating app for celebs, right? There are dating apps for celebs. Have you tried any of those?
I talk about it often. I am on Raya.
Mm-hmm.
Raya waitlisted me for 2 years. I finally was allowed to be on it. And there is a lot of like Instagram people on there, like beautiful Instagram models.
Right.
And like YouTube personalities, and that's all good and fine, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to meet maybe like a nice comedy producer who's like in his 40s and has built a nice, you know, name for himself, and he's got his own money, and he's a nice man. But I don't even know if that exists. I don't know if there are nice producers who exist.
Those people might not also necessarily be on Raya.
No,
because,
and I don't know where they are.
Right, because that app is screening for classic hunks and classic babes.
Yes,
got
truly.
It.
Everybody on it is so beautiful.
Mm.
And I don't know. Like, I have matched with a couple people on it, and it's a lot of, oh, I know who you are, and here's what I do.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, okay, I don't care. And then nothing happens. Nothing has happened on that app. Tinder, I feel like, is just a graveyard of very gross people. And I matched with a pizza the other day.
A pizza?
Yep. It was a picture of a pizza. His name was Pizza, or its name was Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And we matched because I was like, I'll probably match with this pizza. Then the pizza messaged me and said, Pizza loves you. And I said, thank you. And that's it. And I don't know. I just...
That was just someone having a laugh, right? Some goofball?
I guess. I don't know. I feel like that's what Tinder is. Everyone's just trying to laugh.
Right.
I don't know. And then I matched with a friend's ex-boyfriend. And then I was like, maybe he likes me. But then I was like, I can't date my friend's ex-boyfriend.
Right.
I don't know. This man, he sent me a strange message. It said, Nicole, please help me. I just ate an unreasonable amount of chili. But he spelled chili, C-H-I-L-L-Y. So I don't know if he's eating cold wind or a misspelled version of chili, the food. And I was going to write that, but then I said, I don't care.
Yeah. I feel like the kind of guy who would write that is the kind of guy who would misspell chili, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, I bet it was the food, but he doesn't know how it's spelled.
Yeah, I don't know. So this man, on my profile, it says I'm all about the D, and by D I mean dinner. So this man, Jake, messaged me, finally, someone else about that D. I said, yes, I love to have the D every day. He said, are you a fan of large D daily, or do you like to switch up sizes? And I was like, is he talking about dicks? Or is he talking about, like dinner like I am? So I said to him, it depends on how much B and L I've had. And also, I get S's. And he said, S's? I said, snacks. Like, how are you not following that?
Yeah.
And then he said, oh, I call them quickies. And I was like, okay. And then he said, let's get to exploiting post-haste. And I don't know what that means. I was like, does that mean what is exploiting? What are we doing? And then that's it.
I think he didn't get the dinner part. Like, that seems like a guy who was only talking about sex. And he didn't get any of it. That's the way I interpreted it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Why would he call it? Because, like, why would he call a snack? I call them quickies.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that strikes me as he's trying to parse what you're writing from a sex standpoint.
Ah. I was so confused the whole time. I was like, I feel like he's not following what I'm saying. And I'm surely not following what he's saying. Oh, boy.
I think that would be a frustrating relationship because he might be dumb, but at minimum, he can't follow the game of the scene.
Yeah.
And that's tricky.
And I want a funny man. Or lady. I don't know. I want someone who's funny and nice and has their own money. And I don't know if I'm ever going to find that. Nick, I have a question.
Yes.
Even though, well, let's say, if you weren't married, would you date me? Why won't you date me?
I would date you. I would, but here's the thing. I find myself I think I would have trouble keeping up with you because I am not the party animal that you are.
Okay.
And I think you're super funny and you're very pretty and I really like everything that you do, and I enjoy spending time with you, but I don't think I could drink, 8 shots of gin on a weeknight.
Uh-huh.
That's not a lifestyle I can hang with anymore. And also, this is another thing. I am very much, kind of have the personality of, a wealthy dowager who's wearing a monocle. And then someone says something outrageous at the opera and it drops into her champagne flute. So I feel like if I was out to dinner with you and you said something ribald to our server, I would be so embarrassed. I wouldn't be able to show my face in there again. So I think that could create some incompatibilities. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, in terms of how you find, you said you wanted someone funny and nice, and I was like, oh, you're in the UCB community, and then you were like, with money, and I was like, oh, there you go, that's the issue.
Yeah.
So I don't know, have you tried dating other comedians, people who are maybe at your level of success?
I had dated some improvisers, years ago.
Right.
And nothing really worked out well, and then there aren't really any improvisers around now who are working, who are single.
Right. But you also do stand-up. I mean, do you ever meet people on the road or at shows?
No.
Hmm.
So I go to places like Naples, Florida, or Sacramento, which is the worst place I've ever been. I did not leave my hotel room for fear of the people outside.
Right.
They really scared me. Everyone there was so scary.
Sacramento is, last time I was there was to play bassoon in the California All-State Orchestra my senior year of high school. And it's just kind of like, it's a nothing town.
Yeah, I did not like it.
Yeah.
And the people there were trash. No offense. If you listen to the podcast and live in Sacramento, leave. Just leave. If you're a good person in Sacramento, get out. Everyone else is bad. I had to kick people out of my shows there. Almost every show I did, I threw people out of them.
Oh, my God.
And then meet and greets. My audience is women and gay men.
Okay.
And if there is a straight man there, it's because they came with their girlfriend. Their girlfriend dragged them there.
Okay.
So it's hard to meet men like a chuckle fucker man.
Right.
And then male stand-ups, my assessment of them is they were probably real nerdy in high school, figured out how to be funny, and then discovered women like them, mm-hmm. and they're on a real trip about that.
Yeah.
Where they're like, well, if women like me, I got to get the hottest, most beautiful one. Like,
right.
There's one comic, he's a very attractive comic, always has two women with him. He's always dating two women
wow.
who are just cool with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'll ever meet like a stand-up who's like cool dating just another regular old stand-up.
Right.
I feel like they're always looking for the like unattainable that they finally can have.
Yeah.
Like a very King of Queens mentality.
Right.
Where, you know, you got a fat fucking piece of shit. I'm married to a beautiful woman.
Right. These are former nerds having their
yes.
late in life fuck rampages.
Yes.
And they're kind of like, I have a very specific type in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm that type. And I know that I'm a very specific type of person. I'm loud. I'm also visibly loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't, like, today I'm pretty dressed down, but a lot of times I'm wearing very bright colors. I'll have colorful hair and big hair and lots of lipstick. So I know that like being with me is a commitment to being
yeah,
seen.
Right. By the way, can I on that note, because my wife is a huge fan of yours. Like she
really?
Just she thinks you're like so funny, and she just said like she listens to
I
your podcast.
I want to meet her so bad.
She's great. She's a lovely person. She's down seeing her family today, or else I would have had her maybe come by. But she specifically commented to me when I said I was going to come on your podcast about how great your style is, and just like how much she loves your style and like she's so envious of anyone who can pull that off with such confidence.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's a real treat to hear because I spent a lot of time searching for unique pieces.
Right. Like
so
you're wearing
nice.
This, you got a smiley face t-shirt on today.
Sure
that's very
do.
Charming.
Well, this was just from Forever 21. I saw it and I said, that reminds me of the 90s.
Right, yeah.
I had a shirt like that growing up. I want one now.
Before that was an emoji. That was just the smiley
yes,
face.
Yes, it was just a fun little smiley face.
What is there was an, oh, have a nice day. That's what used to be under it.
Yes.
I got it.
Have a nice day. And then there's a bumper sticker that Forrest Gump invented that says shit happens under
right,
the smiley face.
Right, yeah.
I've seen Forrest Gump so many times as of recent. Because every time, for whatever reason, E! Aired it all day, every day during Christmas.
Weird.
And every time it was on, I sat down and watched it.
It's a very watchable movie.
It's also long.
It's super long. It's
also,
like 3 hours.
It's the story of a woman who is sexually abused in her youth.
Oh,
who
yeah.
then kind of manipulates a man with a learning disability.
It's pretty grim.
Who creates a bunch of things in history for other people. It's a wild movie.
It's crazy. It's really crazy, all the stuff that happens.
I would love to read the script. Because I'm sure if that script came into someone's hands today, they would be like, nah, brah, this is wild. We can't do this movie.
It does feel like they reached a certain point. Maybe it was the cutoff of the 21st century where they just stopped making like big, weird movies. Like, look at the fact that it was like a Robert Zemeckis movie with like a huge budget and
uh-huh.
a movie star in it. And it's just like, that's an insane premise for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has to have some existing property attached. But you mentioned the script. There actually is a Forrest Gump book, which I guess goes even further. Like in the Forrest Gump book, he goes to the moon.
Yes,
which
he
is crazy.
Does.
And then I guess in the there's a sequel to Forrest Gump that was written that I have not read.
Forrest Gumper.
Yeah. Yeah, Gump and Gumper. And the it's a. That one, I guess, is even crazier. I think the OJ trial may be referenced in some way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's so bananas.
I honestly, I guess, yeah, I have to read the Forrest Gump and Forrest Gumper. Because I genuinely love the movie and all of its insane. It's an insane movie.
Right.
And the restaurant is also insane. Every time I go, I win trivia. And you better believe there's no prize. They just go, you win. And I go, great, can I buy some glasses?
Is it all Gump trivia?
Oh, you better believe it is.
Oh, so that's why you got you nail it.
Yeah, because I know Forrest Gump.
Right.
Here's a question. What kind of shoes did Jenny wear at her wedding?
Oh, I have no idea.
None. She wore her feet. She wasn't wearing no shoes.
Oh, That's a good trick trivia question, because if you're an avid watcher of the film, you would know that.
What does Lieutenant Dan wear under his suit pants at the wedding?
Okay, is the answer also nothing?
Nah, it's aluminum legs, because lost his legs in the war.
Yeah, well, see, that one I did know, but the way it was phrased, I thought we were referring to his undergarment.
No, I was just trying to trick you, see if you remember he lost his legs. I'm trying to think of more trivia.
What do you get? Like, how often do you go to Bubba Gump, and what do you get?
I haven't been since last year.
Okay.
Last time I went, I think I got popcorn shrimp and a bunch of vodka sodas.
Yeah.
And just got real drunk and wandered around Universal City Walk.
Yeah.
Which is maybe one of my favorite places in LA.
Really?
I love Universal City Walk. I love Jumbo's Clown Room. And that's about, those are like my two favorite places.
Have you ever taken a date either of those places?
No, but I did do an interview once at Jumbo's.
Really?
Yeah, we went at like 5 before I got really busy.
Yeah.
And then I gave her like $100, the lady interviewing me, and I was like, you got a tip after every song. Because she didn't bring any dollar bills.
So you told her, meet me at Jumbo's Clown Room and we'll talk?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. What was the publication?
I don't know. It was in maybe Bustle.
Okay.
It was an internet publication.
Wow.
But it was very fun. And then I was like, I think I do this all the time. It's fun. You have a cocktail. You watch some ladies dance. You throw some money at them. You answer some like hard-hitting questions. It's good. And then a lot of the girls were like, thank you for tipping after every song, because people don't know. Ooh, I'll do a PSA. Brum, brum, brum. Excuse me. If you go to a strip club or a burlesque club where girls are working, you have to tip at least $1 every song. And if you cannot afford that, leave after you run out of money. Because that's how they make their money. They work on tips, and they might, I don't know how much they get paid. It might be like a server where you're making $2, $3, $4 an hour, and then the rest is tips.
Right. I love tipping. I fancy myself a big tipper. And I think if I ever went to a strip club, that would be the part I would enjoy the most. The fact that I get to tip.
My favorite.
Yeah, the in-your-face nudity would make me uncomfortable, but I would really enjoy dutifully throwing dollar bills up on stage.
Jumbo's is burlesque. They don't.
Okay.
It's not topless,
okay.
And they have their panties on, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been to a strip club, but I did when I was 8 years old. I was on vacation with my parents to Mexico. And they just were like, oh, we'll take you to a beach. And they didn't realize it was like
a
topless
beach.
Yeah. And I'm 37 now. And that day on the beach with my brother, who's 5 years older than me, we were just like staring at like every boob. Like there were so many boobs. It's still the most boobs I've ever seen at once. It's just like I peaked at age 8. It was just like,
that's
is crazy. So much IRL nudity.
Funny.
Something I'd never I don't think I'd seen an R-rated movie at that point. And I'm just seeing full-on like attractive naked women.
I feel like now I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Maybe like 2 years ago, I'd be like, wah, wah, wah. But I've been trying to retrain my brain that like breasts are for milking children.
Right.
Oh, wait, feeding?
Putting milk into their mouths.
Oh, I said something on your podcast
that
has now turned into a joke that's my favorite joke. Do you remember I said that kids can't make you come?
Yes.
I've now written a full 5-minute joke about how true that is.
Oh, that's great.
People hate it. The first time I told it was at the Virgil, and a lady literally went, stop! And then I like got so scared and was like, oh, maybe this is bad. But then I was like, no, fuck you guys. I'll spend the rest of this year perfecting this joke. And then that's what I did, and now it's a full-fledged, I think it's a 4.5-minute joke about kids can't make you come, and it goes, It crushes. It
That's
crushes
awesome.
If I crush for the whole set and I go, you guys want to hear a joke you're going to hate? And they're like, yeah, because we love you right now.
Uh-huh.
Crushes. If it's a middling set and I'm like, you want to hear a joke that you're going to hate? They're like, I guess it will go so poorly
right.
that I have to rethink my whole career in comedy.
So why don't you, I mean, you could always just, bail at that point, I guess.
Yes, but I am stubborn.
Yeah.
And I'm very committed to go down with the ship.
Got it.
So I've done it to like, not booze, not quite booze yet, but like people being like, oh no. And me being like, oh yes, you mildly asked for this. So you'll have to listen to the whole thing. All right. We've come to an end. Nick, do you have anything you want to promote?
Check out Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants, right here on the HeadGum Network, hosted by me, Nick Weiger, and my good friend, Mike Mitchell. We review chain restaurants and fast food.
And it's very fun.
We got a lot of great guests.
It's a great time. They get good guests. And if you like food, you'll love it. Ooh, you should listen to the Chicken Nugget Power Hour.
And you and John Gabris.
It's just a bunch of chewing.
That was crazy. I was going to say, because you cited the Kids Can't Make Me Come episode, that was our Cinnabon episode
you did with us
in December, which was a lot of fun. And Nicole's the funniest, so that's a good jumping on point if you're listening to this podcast.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you for having me. This was a treat.
Thank you. You're a treat and a real dream. If you like this podcast and you thought this was a treat and a dream, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you leave a little nasty message, I'll read it out loud. Oh, shit. I should have queued this up. Oh, boy. I'm looking for it. Oh, Marissa's always like, you should have one queued up. Do you have it queued up? And I'm like, yeah, girl. And I never do. Okay. Now, okay. Where is my why won't you date me? Oh boy. Okay. Here it is. Don't cut any of this out, Marissa. Just leave this in. Okay. See all the ratings. Okay. Swipe by. Okay. This is awful.
I really
should have it queued up, but I'm very, very bad.
Are you looking for a one star? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for a nasty review.
Oh, got it.
Because I ask for them and people don't leave them. They leave me nice reviews.
Right.
Okay, I'm trying to. I get a lot of reviews, which is nice. Okay, here is a good one. This is from D. Rivas. Hey, Nicole, your podcast gets me through the day and I love the pains that come with dating in today's world. I'd pay you $100 to let me drink your beef curtains with bathwater. Hey, Nicole, this is Sin. Hey, Nicole, love all your amazing work you do. And since I'm here, let me eat that puss! And that was in all caps. So things like that, I'll read them out loud. Thank you so much. Bye-bye!
This has been a Team Coco production.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.